Welcome, Michael, to the Dental Hygiene Basics podcast. I'm super excited to have you on and to share your story today. I am just going to have you start by telling me a little bit about yourself, your background, anything along your dental hygiene journey. I call it your RDH origin story. So especially like what made you go into dental hygiene, you know, any struggles you had along the way. And yeah, I'm just going to cut you loose and let you go from there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me here. I really, really appreciate it. So my dental hygiene journey, it kind of goes back to going to the dentist as a kid. I had a wonderful dentist who I saw until I was 26 years old, and she just made me feel so comfortable. I was one of those weird kids who loved going to the dentist. And when I tell people that, they're always like, "You like going to the dentist?" I'm like, "I did. Like, it was fun." She had like the best toys in her lobby, and she had this all fish tank, and she was just so sweet and kind. And so reflecting back after I graduated high school, I was trying to decide exactly what I wanted to get into. And I started doing speech and debate, and that was kind of my first route. And I was going to school to get a communications degree. And after Hurricane Harvey, things changed, my mind changed. I sat down and thought with myself, and I realized communications wasn't the way I wanted to go. And I reflected on that childhood, Michael, and I remember going to those dental visits, and I just remember, wow, she really made a difference in my life, and I want to do the same thing for somebody else. And that's what started me on my RDH journey, and that's kind of what's the beginning of it all.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell our listeners what you are up to now.
So right now, I am actually in my final semester of dental hygiene school. I am super excited. We are right around the corner from getting that RDH at the end of our name. And I actually just finished going to a board review, the Andes board review. So that was awesome. It's getting even more real now. The first semester was great. It was learning all this information like fire hose. Second semester clinic was a little bit of a struggle. I actually even got an incomplete in that clinic. But here I am still. Fourth semester, ready to graduate, finishing patients, and yeah, graduation's right around the corner.
That's so exciting. I'm so happy for you. It's such a fun time whenever you're kind of finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, because the journey doesn't just start whenever you get into hygiene school. It's a long road leading up to that, right? And I really want you to kind of talk about, you know, as much as you're willing to go into some of the struggles that you had leading up to dental hygiene school. I know you mentioned Hurricane Harvey, and on your YouTube page, you share how that kind of impacted your grades. Could you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I don't have the perfect RDH story, and I didn't have like the perfect GPA or anything like that. So when I was in community college, I was taking classes and things were not perfect. They were kind of difficult. As soon as I got out of high school, I was taking classes and I wasn't really focused on school. I was focused on work more than school. And some classes I got A's, some classes I got B's. And I still worked pretty hard. We got to about like 2017 is when Hurricane Harvey happened. And around that time, I was still in school. My house completely flooded. I lost a lot of things. I lost like my computer. We lost our home, basically. And that's when things kind of went downhill. School was very much the last thing on my mind. I was worried about places to stay. I was living with a friend. My family was living with family. So we were separated. I didn't have that support system that I needed to get through school. And it was a very challenging time. And in that time, I actually even got F's in classes. I got an F in PE. Like, you got to work pretty hard to get an F in PE. But of course, there was extenuating circumstances. And that's when things really kind of came to an end, I would say. It almost started to look like I would only focus on trying to find a job and just to live and just to make it through life. And something in me, when I was struggling, like at your absolute bottom, there's really kind of nowhere to go but up. So I just started looking up and looking forward, and I took the time to get online, look at my local community college, see what they were offering. And again, dental hygiene popped up, and I was like, it is so meant to be. And I went to my first dental hygiene meeting at my school, and that's when it really, really clicked for me.
I love that. Do you feel like your experiences and what you went through, and then now coming through on the other side, you're about to graduate, Is that what kind of inspired you to start your YouTube page, or what were you hoping to achieve, you know, when you set out and started putting yourself, you know, and your story online?
Honestly, what really inspired me was when I did get online, or when I was looking for dental hygiene content. I did find a lot of dental hygiene content, but I didn't get a lot of like pre-dental hygiene school dental content. And I honestly really want to focus on working towards that as well. But it was the fact that I really didn't want to feel alone. I felt like if I put myself online, I could really share and I could really show people exactly what I'm going through. And I know for a fact that there was somebody out there who was on YouTube, on Google, like looking up interview questions and looking up what are they going to ask and what do I need to wear to my interview? All of these little things that you don't really get until people are probably done with hygiene school. I wanted to be that influence. I wanted to be that person who kind of showed people that it doesn't really matter what your academic history looks like. It doesn't really matter what you've been through, how hard you struggle. You can make it too. If I can make it, you can definitely make it.
I mean, that's what inspired me when I came across your YouTube page, because I was looking for resources for students. I noticed that there was also a lack of resources, and that's what inspired me. I was on the other end because I was working in education already, and I had gone through it myself. Obviously, I was working in education, and I see these students struggling, and, you know, I would get random emails to my school email like, hey, I'm really interested in your program. Like, what can I do? Mm-hmm. And I feel like there can never be too much education and there can never be too many resources. And I feel like people will see you and hear your story and they will respond to that because they're probably going through it themselves.
Yeah.
And I even just looked at the comments on your YouTube page and was like, oh my gosh, like people were so grateful that you took the time to be vulnerable, share your struggles, share, you know, your F and PE, which we can laugh about it now, but
yeah, it's very funny now. Yeah.
At the time though, that's really, really stressful, right? And to overcome all of that, go back to school, take your classes, and then, you know, you're going to have to put that on an application. Did anyone ever ask you, you know, in an interview or anything about any of the hardships on your application, like some of the failing grades or anything like that?
You know what? I actually have had people ask me about my grades that I've had. And honestly, whenever they look at your past and they look at what you're doing now, I think they really appreciated the fact that I was able to recover from that. Because not a lot of people take the time to come back from their failures, you know? It's really hard to see my GPA. And my GPA went from like a 3.5 or 6 or something like that. It went all the way down to like a 2.7 or 8. It went down really, really low. Like it was pretty bad. There were some other extenuating circumstances with classes that was going on as well. I got a couple D's in classes just from like not trying. And you look at your past self and you're like, you kind of want to shake the old you and say, oh, like, why didn't she do better? Why didn't she do this? But then I look at myself now and I'm like, I know why I didn't do those things, because the person who I'm supposed to be today had to go through those hardships to know that you can come out on the other side, that things do get better, that you can actually do it. You know, sometimes you don't know that the things are good until they're actually bad for.
I believe that 100%. And it's like part of what I'm doing. And I think part of your drive too is you want to help people not struggle like you struggled, right?
It's exactly
a former version of yourself. I remember that. And that's kind of a big motivator for me. But at the same time, we are all still going to experience struggles in our lives. If they're similar, like I hope I make someone's dental hygiene journey easier, but we're all still going to experience those struggles. And I think if you just hear other people who are like, hey, I went through it too, and it's totally possible. It might not come in the way that you want, the time frame you want, right? Like I first applied to dental hygiene school at 19. I'm like, oh my gosh, I could have been a hygienist for so long. I'm like, what? And I just think of like, I could have been making a lot of money in 19 years. Uh-huh. But that was not the path I was supposed to go on, right? I was supposed to go on all this other path. I ended up furthering my education. And it's funny because then I ended up becoming an educator. And it's like, if I wouldn't have had all of that other background, I like that you're sharing that. And I think so many people will hear your story and be motivated and hopefully get over that mental hump, right?
Yeah.
maybe I can't do this. No, it's like, you absolutely can. So, well, I do want to go back. So we kind of started talking about GPA. Do you remember what your GPA was when you actually applied?
When I applied to school, I believe it was back to a 3.5, actually.
That's great.
So I went back all the classes that I failed, retook them. I got an A in all of the classes that I retook because I was very focused on getting into the hygiene program. I knew it was going to be competitive. It almost kind of felt like my last push, you know. I had taken 2 years to almost redo all of my prerequisites. And then we got COVID too. So COVID also slowed us down a whole another year. But I think COVID honestly was kind of perfectly timed because it got me time to be able to refocus. We couldn't go anywhere and I was very focused on school. So yeah, I was able to come back from that 2.7 and we went back all the way to a 3.5.
That's incredible. So when you applied, did you only apply once and you got in?
I did. I only applied once.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
How old were you when you got accepted?
I got accepted when I was 27.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you feel like most of your classmates, are they around your age or a kind of a mix?
We actually have a really good mix. Most of our classmates are around like 22, 23, 24. We do have a young 20-year-old in our class, but then we also have people who are in their 30s as well, 33, 34. So yeah, we have a good little mix of people in our class.
I think that's good for people to hear because sometimes people think, oh, my age is going to hold me back, whether you're too young or too old. And I'm like, No, dental hygiene is there waiting for you whenever you are ready to go for that goal. So
exactly.
And let's see here. So did you have any dental experience prior to applying?
I actually had no dental experience at all.
Yeah.
The first thing that I did was actually shadowed a dental hygienist. And actually during this time, for our class, we weren't required to shadow dental hygienists because it was like right after COVID and rules had changed in dental offices. So I still took the time to make sure that I was going to go shadow that hygienist because I wanted to make sure that this was the job I wanted, that this was a career that I knew that I could do. And the craziest thing is the dental hygienist that I shadowed, she actually graduated from the same program that I applied to. So, you know, I got a little bit of insight on the program, so it totally worked out. It was awesome.
That is so nice. And I do recommend shadowing all the time, even because some programs still are not requiring it after COVID. I'm not sure why, because aren't we past? I'm telling myself.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I'm telling you, I'm saying the same thing.
So like everything's kind of back to normal. Dental offices are like business as usual. And I think it's really good to have to put yourself out there and start your networking journey too, because like you said, that person went to the school that you graduated or you're planning to attend. She graduated from there. So then you're like, okay, what if they knew someone at the school and they're like, hey, look out for this guy's application. It's sometimes you don't even know it's happening on the back end. It can make a big difference.
Sometimes it's not like what you know. It's sometimes like who you know.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. I love that you did that. So anyone listening, do that too.
Yes.
I mean, I've experienced, you know, people drop out or leave because they're like, this is not for me. And I've had people come up to me, you know, I'm into my office and they would say, I am just thinking that this is not the right path for me. And you're already purchased instruments or loops or whatever it is. And now you're like, now I think I want to leave.
Yeah.
It's a big investment, but I mean, 100%, I think you should invest in yourself and go to dental hygiene school, but only if you are sure that that's what you want to do.
So. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So let's see here. If you're comfortable, how did you pay for dental hygiene school and any extra expenses?
Okay. This is a great question. So when I realized that dental hygiene school was something that I really wanted to do, I was still taking my prerequisites and I was working at the same time. So I made sure that I was saving money specifically for dental hygiene school. I put away a nice little lump sum that could get me through school. It was great for the first year. But reality sets in when you're not working during hygiene school. I was one of those people who I really wanted to focus on my academic career because, I mean, from my past, I know there was extenuating circumstances, but there was also that possibility of me not doing as well. And with this being kind of like my last hurrah, I wanted to get into this career. I wanted to make sure that this went smoothly and that I was focused on it, that it was something that I took seriously. So I saved up as much as I could, and I still am actually using loans as well. So I saved about $15,000 for school, and then I'm actually using about $15,000 in loans. But I'm also getting a dual credit degree at the same time. So I'm getting my bachelor's and my associate's at the same time.
Well, that's incredible. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So your school offers that. You get enrolled into the associate's program, but you have the option to apply for a bachelor's as well. And so they're kind of going through the same.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Well, I've actually just released an episode that talks all about preparing for the financials of school. And
yeah,
that was what I recommended, because I recommend saving money, preparing and knowing, like, okay, if this is your dream, like, start planning for that financial,
mm-hmm.
because financials are such a big stress on people. But what people don't think of is the stress of the loans afterwards. I know you'll have some loans, but I mean, $15,000
is not that bad, you know?
I know. So I plan to kind of tell this story, but my husband and I, whenever we got married, we're looking at around like $80,000 to $90,000 in loans.
Right.
So that's another struggle that I like to talk about, because whenever you get through on the opposite side, you want that money to go into your bank account. You
exactly.
Give it away. I was like, I find money. I want to go on vacations. I want to save for retirement. I want to, I don't know, buy a bed or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So to come out with as minimal as possible, because I don't want anyone to ever think that I'm hating on loans, because they do serve a purpose, and you should absolutely invest in yourself. The money that you will make after you get your degree is more than enough to pay off those loans, especially if you have a reasonable amount. But I do like to tell people the risks, you know, because what if you don't graduate and you're stuck with all these loans? Or what if you break your hand and you can't work for 6 months and you still have to pay off loans? So it can definitely be heavy. And that weight I felt with the amount that we had, you know, if we had had less, I probably would not have been stressed as
badly.
But I was just thinking, if either of us lose our jobs, or during COVID, we paid ours off in 28 months. But thankfully, that was all before COVID. So thankfully, some other things worked out and I ended up teaching and whatnot. It all kind of played out the way it was supposed to. But I love the way that you prepared for it, and that you know, you did what you had to. You have to keep surviving. You have to
be
cool.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
You did it the smart way. Absolutely. So I think that's
incredible.
Are you working at all while you're in school?
No, I'm not. So, I mean, sometimes it seems like it's peaches and rainbows, but I'm not working right now. So I am still living on my student loan. There's still a doggy paddle going on. You know, my head is still kind of right above the water. But, you know, being so close to graduation, you know, it feels a little easier. And, you know, I've been doggy paddling for almost 2 years now. So it kind of gets easier after a while. But yeah, there are things where I struggle. I've mentioned on my YouTube, I've had car troubles, still having car troubles right now, actually, to this day. So like, there's always a little bit of a struggle, but you know, I know that there is going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. I know it's all going to work out.
I love your mindset, because into something, knowing that whatever comes up, because something will always come up. You know, whether it be you have car troubles, or even, I mean, family issues, grief, you know, people, life goes on outside of dental hygiene school as much as I wish we could pause it. But if you have that mindset of whatever comes up, that's in the future. If that comes up, I'll deal with it when it comes up, right? Like, that's a future me problem that I'm not going to stress about now. When I'll prepare as much as possible, but we'll deal with it when it comes up. And when it comes up, there is always a solution. Like,
always. I love that. I love that. There is always a solution.
I was on my episode where I talk about my financial struggles. I mean, I talk about crazy random stuff I did to make money. And it's like, I needed money.
Exactly.
If I need money, I can make money. Like, I say that to myself all the time. When anytime I'm stressed about finances, I'm like, if I need money, I can make money. Like,
I can make money.
There's always someone who's looking to pay you to do something.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so that's just my little 2 cents on solutions and knowing that there's always a solution, because you don't want that to be your downfall, right? Like, you would hate for your car breaking down to be the reason why you weren't successful in the program.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask, because you mentioned you had an incomplete and
I did
clinical. So how did that kind of come about, and what was your experience? What advice would you give for students to not maybe have to go through that?
Oh, yes, because I don't want anyone out there to get it. I really don't want you to get it incomplete. It is unnecessary stress. I'm telling you that. What's interesting is that was the first semester of clinic. And honestly, everything was going really well. Everything was going great. Finished most of my competencies. I think we had like 5 major competencies, a few other requirements. And it's getting down kind of to the last few weeks of school. And I'm still pretty slow. I'm kind of super particular. Sometimes I get a little OCD about things and I like to take my time. And I had a patient who was a little bit of a patient who was a struggle for me because they were a calculus level that I wasn't really ready for. But I was like, I can do it. I know I can do it. And we were working on like the second quadrant, and it was like a crank day where I was like, I have to get through this quadrant or, things are going to get backed up and I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish on time. And, I'm struggling through that entire day. And lo and behold, we get to the end of the day and I did not finish that patient like I was supposed to at all. And I had another patient coming in Monday and I needed to finish them for another competency. And that next week was basically the last week of clinic. So there was almost no other day for me to bring that patient in to finish them. And all I really needed to do was polish them. That was the last competency that I needed to do. And it didn't work out. It didn't work out. And it really was due to my time management. And I will say it was a little bit of overconfidence as well. We talk with our advisors all the time. My school is very good about that, making sure that we are on time, that we have like our mid-semester sessions with our advisors to make sure that we will complete things. And everything was scheduled out perfectly and nicely. And it's like, oh, you do this and it'll be nice. And then this, it'll be perfect. Oh, it's falling into place. And it was just proof that things don't always work out how you want them to. They just don't. And yeah, getting that eye was it was tough, especially in your first semester of clinic, and everything was great before that. So it was tough.
Yeah. So when you got that eye, how did they overcome that incomplete? Did you have to make it up at the start of the next semester or?
Yep, exactly. So that was the first semester of clinic. And then we actually had a summer clinic session after that. So I couldn't start summer clinic until I finished the first clinic. So I got an incomplete until we started school again. And then we start school. And what I had to do was finish that polishing competency that I missed. Once I finished that polishing competency, I was able to be signed off and I was able to start clinic, the next clinic. And I got that done, honestly, on the first day of the summer clinic. And so as much as it hurt me, it was also something that I know that I could, easily complete. It wasn't something that I was going to let ruin my entire dental hygiene career. I knew that I could overcome that easily. I knew I could.
Yeah, that's a good mentality because it can be hard to get that incomplete. And then in some schools, if you get an incomplete or if you don't complete your clinical requirements, you're gone. Start back the next semester. So I really think that it's nice that they have that grace period at your school.
Yeah.
Give you the time because you're managing so many different things in dental hygiene school. You talked about time management and you're right. You don't have all day long. You have to work in the confines of the time that you're given. And sometimes it just does not go your way. And I know I always told my students, because I was clinic coordinator, I would say strategize. Try and get all of your competencies, all of your requirements done. I mean, as quickly as possible. Like as soon as you have a patient that will qualify for that, do your exam on them.
Do it.
You think you're not ready? Like just do it. Because sometimes I'll wait until I'm ready. Well, if you're do it on the first patient, but like if you need help, ask for help leading up to that,
Exactly. Yeah.
So I'm glad we're talking about this. I mean, you mentioned that you had spoken with your advisors. Everything was planned. On that day when you knew you had to finish that one quad, did you talk to anyone that day? Like, did you stop at any point and like go ask, tell someone, I'm scared, I'm not going to finish?
You know what? That day, I wish I would have. Because I didn't that day. I really didn't. That first clinic, I did a lot of struggling on my own, which I think no one should ever do. And I hope people watching this never actually do that. Like your faculty is there to help you. The last thing they want you to do is get an incomplete in clinic. The last thing they want you to do is fail out of the program. They will do everything in their power to make sure that you finish all of your competencies, that you know everything that you need to know. And that was like a big wake up call for me, because I think that I was just so in my head about it, like, oh, it needs to be perfect. I need to do it right. Everything's got to be correct, like, without realizing that here you are, you're in school. You don't know everything. You have to learn how to become a dental hygienist. Nobody is born a dental hygienist. So you have to go ask those questions, and you have to get your faculty to help you, get them involved. So now it's like every 5 minutes, they call us meerkats, because I'm like popping my head up over my unit like, hey, can you help me with this? I got this calculus here. I can't get it. What is this? Just, I mean, I'm calling them every 5 minutes now. So yeah, I really wish I would have done that actually.
Yeah, because I don't know what it is. I think people get nervous. Maybe they think they can't ask for help, or they get nervous when someone's watching them, or they think I'm going to be put on the spot, or they think I'm not good enough. No, I agree. I mean, as faculty, that was my job, was to be there and facilitate and help you. I feel like I got better as I was a clinic coordinator longer, in really like morning huddles, being like, okay, where are we at? Who needs to finish this patient to be successful, like in this clinic day? And then I would just tell the other students, look, this person is not going to finish their requirements, and it's no man left behind out here. Like, I'm going to be in this room way more than I'm going to be with the rest of you, because the rest of you were good, right? But
yeah,
I feel like that builds that teamwork too. If you know, like, hey, I know that my buddy next door has to finish, you know, so I'm not going to stress if I'm kind of on my own a little more today, because tomorrow I may need that extra attention. And
exactly.
That's why I wanted to ask that question, was because I had that happen so much, where that communication wasn't there and someone would come up to me after, and that happened to me. I speak about it. I get really emotional when I think about it, because it was
a student
who ended up not being successful. And I was so busy running the clinic and trying to help the people that I knew needed to finish that day. And that one just slipped, because she never came and told me, like, I need to finish this today. And she was a quiet student. And I mean, it was just really rough on me. And so I love that we're talking about that, because I think everyone needs to hear that. Or your faculty is there for you. You need to have the conversation, especially when things go wrong, you know?
Exactly. Yes. Yes. But now I honestly call them when things are going right, or even if I have a minor question, like, you have to really, really use them through school. And it's kind of hard, because as dental hygiene students, a lot of us are like that, like type A, want to be perfect, want everything to go smoothly. And this is hygiene school. You're not a hygienist yet. It's okay. This is the time where you make the most mistakes you can, because you're going to be forgiven for them and you're going to learn from them. And that's the best way to learn. So yeah, I'm glad that communication is there. Like, I've built that now, but I'm glad that you're a faculty who has recognized that. Like, that's really, really important for your students.
Well, I like what you mentioned. You're probably starting to reflect on this now, that you have to soak up all that knowledge while you're there, because you're about to graduate and there's no in your op with you.
I know.
You have to make the flip choices. If you're lucky like me, you'll hopefully go work in a practice where you have a good mentor. I had really great mentors that I worked with, and I mean, they saved me, because I just would be like, pop my head in their op. I need you to come help me. Like, I connect this, or I need help with that. And it's just so helpful to have. That's just life. You get used to it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Day in, day out. Yeah. Well, I know on your YouTube videos, you did talk about your interview process and that you were interviewed by a panel. How would you recommend people prepare for dental hygiene interviews? I know I would recommend watching your video, because I loved it. They were great. But do you have any other advice?
Yeah. Let's see. So my interview, did you say a panel? I did. It was supposed to be a panel.
Oh, okay.
So we did individual views. So we did, like, you know, it was like right after COVID. So they did like separate interviews for us.
That makes sense. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I would honestly recommend going to go look up some questions, going to go look up some videos, maybe actually talking to someone who graduated from hygiene school, ask them how their interview went, because I got really great advice from the dental hygienist that I shadowed. She gave me some great advice. She really told me to make sure that I understood things like ethics, because that's going to be big on the in interview process, and really showing your personality. That's what I really would like people to make. Like, whenever they ask you a question, one, take the time to think about the question. It's okay to just sit there for just a minute and just think in your head. They're not going to judge you for that. Take the time, think about the question, relate it back to something that's happened to you in your life. And then also take the time to make like that real world connection to the job or the school that you're interviewing for. Like, that's kind of like the nice little combo that I like to use for all of my interviews.
That's really good advice. I love that. Yeah. I mean, the first thing I always do, and I've been interviewing for years and years and years. I've gone through so many interviews, and I was actually talking with someone about this the other day. I was like, I think every single job I've interviewed for, I've gotten. And I was like, why? Because no matter if I've done it one time or 100 times, I always Google interview questions.
Exactly.
Every single time. It doesn't matter. Even if I interview like 3 days, you know, back to back, I'll go home and interview questions. And it just helps to prepare you. And I always say preparation powers performance. So
it does. If
you think ahead. I mean, it's going to be pretty unusual for them to throw you something insanely off the wall, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But I know you mentioned that you had a couple that made you kind of think a little bit, but that's where you talk to someone who has gone through it, especially at the school that you're going to. That's really good advice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, now you're in dental hygiene school. You're rounding the corner. You're getting close to graduation. What do you feel like was the hardest transition? And I really want your point of view because you had no dental experience. So what do you feel like starting dental hygiene school and like as you progress has been the hardest part, that transition into this whole new life and subculture, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. It is. It's its own community, dental hygiene. I love it. But the biggest struggle, I would have to say, for me, it's always been the overload of information, especially that first semester. It can be difficult. And I think a lot of times scares a lot of people out of programs. And people say it all the time. It's like drinking through a fire hose because that's exactly what it is. And whenever you don't have that dental experience at all, it's like tenfold, you know, because some people, they already know positions patients are in, or they know tooth numbers or these things because they were like dental assistants. But it's a huge information overload. But I think people need to make sure that they understand that you have 2 years to figure it out. It's okay. Like, you will learn all of the things that you need to learn. You have the time. You can make it through it. And a lot of it has to do with a little bit of confidence and then a lot of preparation. That's really what it is. You can prepare for dental hygiene school. You can do a little bit of research just to kind of get yourself like ready for that. It's a huge information overload. I will also say there is also that financial struggle that comes with it as well. Like, you have to be prepared for that, especially if you're not working. You really need to make sure that you're prepared for dental hygiene school financially, and definitely for that overload of like of information.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those seem to be recurring themes that come up, you know, all the time. Like, it's going to be a ton of information. We can't slow down the pace, right? There's so much trying to teach you in 2 years. But I kind of like what you mentioned. You have 2 years to learn it. And that's true, because I kind of remember feeling like I needed to know it all right away. You need a strong foundation. Like, I truly, truly believe the first semester is the most important. And if you get behind in the first semester, you're going to spend the rest of the time trying to get caught up. But
without a doubt,
once you get to the second, well, really, like, even like your senior year, I feel like the classes start to overlap so much that suddenly it just starts to kind of feel like you get a little dose of new information, but a lot of it is a review, right?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you know, I can connect these dots. And that's how it should be. You know, you start with the basic education and then you move into an area where you can start thinking critically, answering case study questions, treatment planning your patients. So it is all a journey. Just one foot in front of the other, and you just absorb what you can each day. So I think that was really good advice and a good way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, the only question I did ask was, how long is your program? Is it the typical 2 years?
It's 2 years. Yes, 2 years, even including the dual credit program. It's 2 years.
I'm assuming you get a little time off over the break for winter break. And then what about summers? Do you go all summer long?
I actually basically went all summer long because I was doing my dual credit program and I had to take three classes in the summer. But you actually would get a nice little break in between. We go from August all the way to December. Then you get like a 4 week December break. Then we usually come back January all the way until May. We are in school. Yeah. And then you have like a beginning summer session and you have like a weekend off. Then you have your whole second summer session where you're doing clinic. And we do clinic all the way up until July. So you have a little bit of August in there in like a few weeks.
Wow, that's great. So are your classes, extra classes that are going to help you attain your bachelor's, is that all online or are you doing that at the school as well?
They are all online. They're
Okay.
all online. Yeah.
And so how many extra hours a semester is that usually?
So the first semester, it was only 3 credit hours. The second semester, it was 6. And then in that summer, I had those 3 classes that I was taking. And they're like elective classes because the school requires you to take about 120 hours at the school. So I needed to do that. And then it's 6 credit hours mostly for the last 2 semesters as well. So mostly 6 credit hours, except for that first semester, which you'll probably appreciate that there's only one class.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I can't imagine on top of everything that you're learning, but good for you. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of students in your program doing that?
Quite a few. I think there's like 11 of us, actually. There's a few of us doing it. Yeah. And now all of us are graduating in 2024 with the bachelor's, which is great about the program. You can start the program, you can pause the program. If it's too overwhelming, you can always come back to it. So I really appreciate that. So some people are graduating a semester later, a couple semesters later, the next year. You can kind of take your time with the program as well.
That's awesome. I actually have not talked about that with anyone else on the show. So
Oh, awesome.
I think that's going to be so good for our students to hear if they're considering
Oh,
a
yeah.
program that offers that. Because clinically, with an associate's, you can go and do dental hygiene. And I mean, pay difference, you're not going to see big pay difference. The only difference you might see are some jobs that you might be more qualified for if you have a bachelor's. So if you go into education, you're probably going to need a bachelor's, but now it's even starting to transition to a master's. Most government jobs require a bachelor's. So it kind of just depends on what your long-term career goals are. I would love to know, what are your long-term career goals?
I have some interesting long-term career goals. I love hygiene. I can't wait to really be in hygiene, but I do have dreams of going back to dental school, actually. So yeah, I want to do hygiene for a long time. I would love to do that maybe 2 or 3 years. And while I'm doing that, I would love to like start working on my prerequisites for dental school. Hopefully I can work hygiene while I'm in dental school. I don't know. It sounds like a lot, but I would love to do that. And then, get into dental school. I would love to work at like a community clinic. That's kind of like my ultimate goal once I finish hygiene school.
Yeah.
I really want to give back. I think it's really important to go work in the community that, has kind of made you who you are today and, kind of give your little due diligence back to those people. So that's kind of the goal for me, dental school. And then maybe even after that, it's going to be kind of crazy, but I really want to go to pilot school.
You know what? I'm glad we were talking about this because
Yeah.
I love when people have dual passions or triple passions or whatever, because
Yeah.
that is one of the beauties of dental hygiene is that you can go work and make excellent money. You could work 5 days a week. I know people who work 6 days a week as a hygienist. Me, I could not do it. I started out at 4, and then they were like, let's add a half day. Let's add. I was like, my body could not handle it. And I was just meant to be in education. Like, I
Yeah.
knew pretty quick I'm going to fizzle out of clinical hygiene sooner rather than later. But I
Amen.
still love it. I actually work with the city of San Antonio one day a week, and I work with a community program, and we do
Awesome.
like fluoride and sealants on kiddos in elementary school,
Oh,
which
I
is.
love that.
Yeah, mobile dentistry. So it's super cool. Like, have mobile units. It's a lot of fun. But I have other passions. I love that aspect of clinical, but I knew I couldn't work 5 days a week in traditional dental hygiene anymore. But I love teaching, but I'm also really weirdly into like finance. And so I'm actually a
Oh, cool.
bookkeeper. Yeah, for my dad's business or my brother's business. He just sold it to my brother. So it depends on the day of the week what I'm doing. Just because you go to dental hygiene school, it doesn't mean that you can't do dental hygiene 2 days a week and then go be a pilot 2 days a week.
Exactly. I love that. That's so awesome.
Yeah, and that's how you prevent burnout because, I mean, if you've been anywhere on the internet, you probably hear about burnout, especially among dental hygienists. But I don't know. I think it's worth it to pursue whatever it is that you think is going to make you happiest, right? So,
Yeah, exactly.
and like I said, we can always make money.
Exactly. We already do. We know we can make money for sure. So
That's incredible. Well, do you have any final advice that you would give to anybody applying to dental hygiene school?
yes, I would say you can do it. It's so if you have the passion, the drive, it's something you want to do, you can do it. Nobody's born a dental hygienist. You will learn. You have those 2 years to figure it out. And have a little confidence, like honestly, a lot of times competence has gotten me pretty far, especially in clinic, especially through this program. Like, and don't be afraid to make mistakes. That's also another huge thing. Don't be afraid to blurt out that wrong answer, because when you embarrass yourself that one time, you will never get that answer wrong again. So be afraid to make mistakes, have some confidence, and just go forward and look back at your past, but make sure you don't get stuck looking back. You know, look back, learn from it, and just keep going forward, because you deserve any and everything that you want in life and all of the best things. So good luck.
Oh, that's so good. I'm so happy I brought you on today. And where can people find you, either on socials or YouTube, so that we can promote you a little bit here?
Yeah, absolutely. So on YouTube, I'm the Dental Queer Genist, or you can also find me at RDH Michael on YouTube. And I'm also on Instagram at RDH.Michael as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Michael, so much for being here today. And this was just incredible. Thank you so much.
This was awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you.